Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hope everyone's doing well. So to come on the program today for the Media Research Center, Dan Gator will be with us. That's at the 10 o'clock hour and 11 o'clock hour. State Representative Chip Brown in studio with us. Looking forward to that. But joining us now, my next guest, colleague at Breitbart News, handles a lot of the tech issues. Very, very great read. Go follow him on Twitter, at Libertarian Blue. Al Bukhari joins us on the line. Alam, how are you today?
Hi, Jeff. Good to be on. How are you?
Doing well. Let's get right into it. At the very top here, the story, big story for Breitbart a week ago, these doctors that they held a press conference up in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill, and we had it up, the stream up, and they were talking about hydroxychloroquine and then all these remedies are potential therapeutics for COVID-19. And they're midstream, these tech companies just freak out, start pulling them down, and that raises these big questions, these issues about just how far, just what a role tech has got to play in our public discourse.
Well, you know, this hydroxychloroquine thing is completely politicized. It was a huge panic started by the media because Donald Trump started talking about it. I think Trump said the other day that, you know, if he said hydroxychloroquine, you know, never worked, then the media would be the biggest cheerleaders, you know, and the social media companies have completely followed along with the journalists and are now censoring medical professionals, frontline doctors, for giving their opinion on it.
Yeah, and that raises all kinds of questions that it's not, you know, what exactly role do these platforms or these guys publishers, why do they get special protections and all that? But this, I think, was like that one of the big first opening salvos in that discussion, that debate, because we see it, and given, like you pointed out, we in America have managed to politicize a pharmaceutical, that there's more of this to come potentially.
Absolutely. And, you know, they censored Breitbart News, a news organization, a live stream of a press conference. It wasn't even offering any opinions about the drug. That was the doctors at the press conference who were doing that. And it was the top performing post across Facebook, 17 million views by the time it was taken down. And if you look at how journalists responded to the live stream's popularity on Twitter, they were barraging Facebook with complaints before it was taken down. So this really is Silicon Valley once again, just following along with what mainstream journalists tell them.
Yeah, and you know, that's always the question to me, because there's so many unknowns about this pandemic and this virus. But we have to accept a certain set of truths, even though these truths are always shifted, these goalposts are always moving, that if you violate this orthodoxy, if you violate this conventional wisdom, it's not just that, like, this is up for debate, but it's as if you committed some sort of crime, and they come down on you pretty hard.
That's right, and there's no due process, there's no oversight. It certainly boggles my mind that landlords have to go through a clear legal due process to evict a tenant. They can't just do it for any reason. But if your business depends on your Facebook page or your YouTube page or any of these other social media platforms, you have absolutely no legal due process there whatsoever. These tech giants are completely unaccountable, and the people who use them have no rights in relation to people who own them.
Well, critics would say this, and this is not me saying it, but, well, they're private companies, you can't rely on them, you need to go, you shouldn't invest so much of your success in a Facebook page or a Twitter page. But the other side would say, well, these guys have a special role, they have special privileges, really, like, dealing with that. Well, what is the right approach?
Well, first, as you point out, these tech companies, the reason they're so big is because they got special legal privileges from Congress in the 1990s. So it's not just a case of these are just private companies. They owe their position to perks the government gave them. But secondly, I'd point out that it's very easy to say, well, you shouldn't rely on somebody else's website, but it's virtually impossible for many businesses to achieve success these days without relying on either Google or Facebook or one of these other platforms.
Tell me this: how long does this system stay in place? It would seem that at some point could there be a competitor come along? The status quo to me, it seems unsustainable, just because these companies get so big, and then they're kind of, some of them are smart about it. I think Facebook and Zuckerberg are smart about it, but I don't see how this can keep on, because at some point either something comes along in the marketplace because people are just getting tired of this nonsense, or on the other hand, governments start to act and try to bust up these tech giants.
Well, the problem is these tech companies have grown to be monopolies now, and they use their dominance in the marketplace to essentially shut out competitors, even ideological competitors. So, for example, Google and Apple, they control 99% of all smartphone operating systems worldwide. So if both of those companies decide that they don't want your smartphone app on their platforms, they can essentially shut you out of the market, and that's exactly what happened to Gab, which Gab.com, which is a free speech-oriented competitor to the main social networks that tends to respect most First Amendment-protected speech. So it's almost like you've got a rival delivery company, but you're banned from using the roads.
Well, you had to jump through some hurdles to get on some of these smartphone to be an application at their store, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely, and those hurdles are increasing. If your platform hosts so-called hate speech, you'll be kicked off. Or at least that's what they say, because Twitter and Facebook and all these mainstream social media companies, they're flooded with hate speech, especially against, if you look at Trump-supporting minorities, Trump-supporting women, they get flooded with all sorts of horrible vitriol all the time. You saw threats of violence against high school kids during the Covington High School drama simply because they were wearing MAGA hats, and yet Twitter is allowed on the App Store, Twitter is allowed on Google Play Store. So there's clearly a double standard in the way these so-called hate speech regulations, even incitement to violence regulations, are enforced on these platforms.
Well, not just that, but if I'm not mistaken, I mean, and this may not be any limit, but at one time you had these terrorist organizations, you had ISIS with a Twitter account, and you still have these despotic regimes like in Iran with Twitter accounts. They're held to a different standard, it seems, but I don't know that I necessarily have a problem with that, because even though it is propaganda or whatever, you're still kind of interested in hearing it, but that never seems to come up.
Absolutely, and like you, I believe in less censorship, not more, but these companies have created these opaque standards around speech, and they're applying it just to one set of people, you know, populists and right-wingers and Trump supporters. I would prefer to see tech companies that, instead of censoring constitutionally protected speech or speech that doesn't incite violence, they instead give users filters so they can choose what they see on their feed. You know, Google has had a safe search button since before I can remember. So they have the technology to do that. They're just choosing not to use it because they want to control the flow of information. They don't want to give that power to users.
Google's a very interesting one. Google does a lot of things with their algorithm, and they have become the go-to search engine, I think, for most Americans. Is there any, is it even feasible that Google would have a competitor come along? You hear about some of these competitors, but like Bing, Microsoft company, Microsoft, one of the biggest companies in the world, can't go head-to-head with Google. They haven't had success. Is there any, what would it take? Would Google have to mess up in such a serious way for something else to come along, or is this kind of what we just got to deal with for the foreseeable future?
No, it would take something truly extraordinary for Google to lose its position. 91% of all searches around the world went through Google last year, and the reason I think that even Microsoft or Yahoo, who are big companies, can't compete is because Google simply amassed so much data on everyone. They're collecting data through not just the search engine, but also through Chrome browsers, through the laptops that they produce, through the smartphones that they produce, through the operating systems. And because they have all of that data, they can give people targeted search results that their competitors simply can't. and their competitors obviously have no way to amass a similar level of data. So that's why Google's position is entrenched. I have had interesting suggestions about separating Google's data business from their search business, which might make things better, but that would again require government intervention.
Well, they do, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, like, obviously, you use Google in China. They do restrict certain things at the behest of the Chinese government. They play ball with you know, what I would think are adversarial powers, forces around the world to the U.S.
Absolutely, and all the Silicon Valley companies do this, actually. So, as you said, Google was going to develop a censored search engine in China, and obviously Apple produces all their smartphones over in China, and even Microsoft, which is now trying to buy TikTok as if that would somehow make things better, they've had a presence in China for more than 20 years. You know, they're involved in research and development over there. So all of these companies are deeply tied to China, and I think that's going to increasingly be a national security concern.
Joined by Alan Bakari of Breitbart News, my colleague at Breitbart News. The 2020 election, we talked about the politicization. Everything is political right now, this close to a presidential election. But I've always, you know, the Clinton campaign blamed Facebook for their loss. I think there was more to that. In some ways, tech is a convenient scapegoat, but this time around, it looks like they're trying to correct or perhaps even overcorrect for what they had allegedly done, were accused of doing in the 2016 election.
Yes, and in fact, you know, I talked to people inside Facebook and Google, and they all say the same thing. You know, after the 2016 election, there was like total panic inside these companies from top to bottom. They were shocked that Donald Trump could have won the election, and they started blaming themselves for not doing enough to stop him. One of my Facebook sources says, actually, that when all these departments inside Facebook were set up to combat so-called fake news and misinformation and safeguard so-called election integrity, the people who joined them inside Facebook were the most anti-Trump people at the company. And we saw similar things at Google. We got that video of the Google executives, the Google co-founders, saying the election offended them, that they wanted to make the populist movement a blip in history. So we know what they want to do this time around, and we're seeing them doing it.
Do they do that at the expense of losing customers? I mean, it seems Facebook has a little bit of a different approach. They'll play ball a little more with concerns, but Google, I mean, when we brought about what the competitor could be and everything Google does, but Twitter, these guys, they start showing that they're willing to go out of their way to restrict certain content. Do people ever say, I'm done with this, and does it really even matter? Are these guys seem so big, but how much does that, you know, like, how much is that really going to matter, I guess, in the end?
I mean, it hurts them a little bit, but again, it's really hard to function in the modern society without using Google or one of these other services. And the other thing is, I mean, they don't mind losing a few customers, because especially for Google, I think they have a huge vested interest in a Democrat administration. They have deep ties to the Democrat Party that they don't have with the Republican Party. There were hundreds of employees from Obama's White House who went over to work for Google, or people from Google who went over to work for Obama's White House. Eric Schmidt was appointed to a Pentagon Advisory Council under Obama. Governor of New York's also given Schmidt another role, and so they have a lot to benefit from a Democrat administration. Not just those political ties lead to favorable laws, favorable regulations as well. So that's a big thing for them, which is why I think they'll take losing a few conservative customers over putting the possibility of a Republican in the White House again.
Well, and we'll kind of wrap it up on this, but one thing I've seen Google do, at least, to curry favor with Republican politicians, it seems, they'll build a data center or some kind of infrastructure in a state or a district, and that will win them favor with some Republicans. And that seems to be I don't know that that's necessarily a tactic to use it for that reason, but there are Republicans that are reluctant to criticize Google for that reason.
Absolutely. It's their way of avoiding unfavorable legislation. They know Republican voters want their politicians to tackle censorship, to maybe remove some of those legal privileges, but they fund Republican politicians and conservative think tanks to stop that from happening.
Al, we've got to wrap it up there. Folks want to find you on Twitter, or they want to check out all the great stuff you're writing, and I recommend checking it out at Breitbart. Tell them where they can go.
I'm on Twitter at LibertarianBlue. I'm also on Gab at AB. Just search for Alan Bukhari on Breitbart, and you'll find my articles.
Hey, Alman, thank you for making time for us.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be on.
All right, that was Alan Bukhari of Breitbart News talking about big tech censorship. We're going to take a break. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Out of kindness, I suppose.